The first reading is from Luke chapter 4, verses 1 to 14. We're talking this morning about temptation. Luke 4, verse 1. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone." The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, "I will give you all their authority and splendor. It has been given to me, and I can give it to you or to anyone I want to. If you worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time.
The second reading is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, the first 13 verses. For I do not want you to be ignorant of the facts, brothers, that our forefathers were all under the cloud, and that they all passed through the sea. They were all baptized into Moses by the cloud and in the sea. They all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them. Their bodies were scattered over the desert. Now these things occurred as an example to keep us from setting our hearts on even things as they did. Do not be idolaters, for some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and got up to indulge in pagan revelry. We should not commit sexual immorality as some of them did. And in one day, 23,000 of them died. We should not test the Lord as some of them did and were killed by snakes. And do not grumble as some of them did and were killed by the destroying angel. These things happened to them as examples and were written down as warnings to us, on whom the fulfillment of the ages has come. So if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. No temptation has seized you except that which is common to man. And God is faithful. He will let you be tempted. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you hear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out, so that you can stand up under it.
Amen. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one, is our verse for today. Oscar Wilde once said, "I can resist everything except temptation." And I'm sure that's a familiar experience for all of us. And temptation is not a sign that you are far from God. It's often a sign that you are important to God. The enemy tempts what he fears. But God provides strength, escape, and victory for every believer who stands firm. Lead us into temptation almost sounds like we're asking God not to tempt us. We will see later why that's not right. Perhaps a better reading would be, lead us away from the time of testing. First thing I want to say is that temptation is not a sin. Just because we're tempted, that in itself is not sinful. I think we often feel guilty because we're plagued by sinful thoughts that do not come to fruition. Temptation to gossip, to be nasty about someone. Temptation to take what isn't ours. Temptation to be selfish. Imagine you're at home and the doorbell rings. Curtain flicks as you look out the side of the window. Maybe you've got one of these little peepholes and you look and see who it is. And it's a salesman or a scammer or someone who just drains your time. Temptation is like that knock on the door. Hearing the knock isn't the problem. Opening the door is the problem. Fact is, we don't have to feel guilty about being tempted. It's what we do when tempted that makes the difference. And we're all tempted in different ways. Linda told us about the seven deadly sins. Well, the only problem I've got with the seven deadly sins is the list isn't long enough. There's more than that. And we're all tempted in different ways. We all have our personal weaknesses can lead us into our temptation. And Jesus was tempted in the desert between being baptized and starting his ministry. He was tempted with bread when hungry, power when it appeared that he had none, and with a shortcut to avoid having to go to the cross. When the devil said, "Here is all the kingdoms that belong to me, I'll give them to you," Jesus was tempted to not go the way of the cross, but to bow down to Satan and get the kingdoms and powers and authorities that way. Jesus was perfect, and he was tempted, but he never sinned. Hebrews 2, verse 17 says, "For this reason, he had to be made like his brothers in every way, in order that he might become merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted." Jesus was tempted the same way that we are, but he didn't sin. In Luke 4, Jesus responds to every temptation with scripture, not with feelings, not with opinions, not with willpower, but with truth. So if Jesus was tempted in every way that we are and still remain perfect, then temptation can't be sin. It's the giving in to temptation that is sinful. When we slip from thinking about something to dwelling on it or actually doing it, that is when it becomes sin. For example, if someone upsets us, we may be tempted to get angry, tempted to stew on it, hold a grudge, wait for a chance to get our own back. If we've just thought about it and don't act on it, we haven't sinned. But if we dwell on it and allow the anger to swell inside us and let it out with a burst of fury, then we have sinned and it's not pleasing to God. The mature and godly thing is to nip it in the bud at temptation and not allow ourselves to sin. In the New Testament, the word temptation has the root of the word test. Not an examination, you'll be glad to know, like a GCSE or A-level type test, but more like the testing of materials. Something called tensile strength, meaning that you would take a piece of metal or a piece of plastic or some material and bend it to make sure it won't where the breaking point is. So God will allow our faith to be tested, to refine our faith so it will not break when the big trials of life come along. I remember reading about samurai swords once, and they are folded, the metal is folded and folded and folded again until it becomes so strong in tensile strength that they're almost impossible to break. So God does that with us, tests us, so that our faith will grow. James 1 verse 13 says, "When tempted, no one should say, 'God is tempting me.' For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when by his own evil desire he is dragged away and enticed." So temptation is not sin. But it is a fact that we are our own worst enemies, aren't we, as Christians? When it comes to the guise in which temptation affects us, it is what is within us that will cause us to fail, our own weaknesses. The devil simply seems to exploit a known weakness. Neither God nor the devil can cause us to sin. We can blame neither if we fail to resist temptation. The devil is the one who is seen as the one who uses our weaknesses to make us doubt God. In Genesis we have, did God say? In Exodus we have, did God promise? In the law we have, did God command? In the prophets, hasn't God abandoned you? For Jesus, is that real obedience? Will God mind? Here is a shortcut. And for all of us, all of the above, plus, will God know or care? 1 Thessalonians 3:5, Paul says, for this reason I could stand it no longer. I sent out to find out about your faith. I was afraid that in some way the tempter may have tempted you and our efforts might have been useless. Paul here uses the words and language of the exploited. And we are exploited people by the devil. The devil does not cause our sin, he exploits our weaknesses. However, the problem is that sometimes the exploiters and sometimes the exploited is what we are. We don't blame God, we don't blame the devil. Instead, we confess our weaknesses and God will show you a way to persevere. The next thing is that temptation is common to everyone. Sounds obvious, but when we're being tempted, we often feel isolated, don't you? Feel isolated sometimes? Temptation comes and you think, well, I'm the only one who's feeling this way. I'm the only one who gets this angry, this discouraged, this upset. Truth is, we all have these desires, wants, daydreams, wishes, envious of others at one time or another. And it's what we do with that. James continues, then after desire has been conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Don't despair when you want to strike back, or gossip, or indulge in self-pity or jealousy. Get very angry over the wrong things. Allow your thoughts to run riot. Spend all the money beyond your means. Not give enough to God. We all feel them, and Jesus did too. Jesus felt these things. Remember, he was fully human. He knows our desires, our anger, our jealousy, our self-pity, our rage, because he was human. He was tempted, but he didn't fail. And then God is for us. Remember, Jesus in the desert was there feeling isolated, in the desert on his own, and the devil comes to him and says, just turn this stone into bread. The temptation was there, but Jesus did not fail. Now, we've probably all overheard sermons about how Jesus overcame the devil by quoting scripture, and that if we too quote scripture at the devil, he will flee, like some kind of magic spell, like Harry Potter experience. If we quote scripture, the devil will flee with his hands over his ears. That doesn't sit easily with me. We, as we saw from Jesus' temptation, they both use scripture. So the devil himself quotes scripture. Admittedly, he misquotes it, and he obviously does not have a fear of it. There has to be more. James 4:7 again. Submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Not quote scripture at him, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. James is very careful in this verse to see a complete picture. If we submit, we will overcome. This is what Jesus did in those scriptures. He submitted to the Father in heaven. Each reply Jesus gives us is a verse of submission. What does God want? What does God say? What does the scriptures say? Not some sort of magic spell, but instead a way of saying, I submit to God, not to you, devil. Paul writes this in 1 Corinthians 10:11. These things happened to them as examples and were written down as warnings for us on whom the fulfillment of ages has come. So if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you do not fall. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. We can resist temptation because God is with us. So when Satan offers shortcuts from the path of the cross, the taking up of the daily cross that all Christians are expected to do, offers the means to supply the world's needs by false miracles, as he did with Jesus, offers the whole world in return for worship, as he did with Jesus, offers following of God's will without pain, as he did with Jesus, we can stand firm because God is with us, and as Jesus did. God is there for us to help us in the time of temptation. And Jesus fights with the love of the Father. Obedience is born of love. 1 Corinthians 13 says that without love, all that we do is worthless. Without love, obedience is just blind. Worship is hollow. A good life is futile. Resistance to temptation, empty. God's love compels us to love one another. We do not give in because we love God. If we hold into that holy life, our hearts will overcome temptation. Because it reminds us who we are. When our thought life is unchecked, God is hurt. When we give in to temptation, God is hurt. It is our love of Jesus that helps us overcome temptation. Remember what the Bible says, the devil is there like a roaring lion waiting to consume us. But we instead trust in the Lord God Almighty, the one who has destroyed the evil one, the one who will bring that all to completion one day. Psalm 51, that psalm of repentance that I read last week, says, restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant a willing spirit to sustain me. So in conclusion, temptation is common to everyone and is not in itself sinful. God does not tempt us, nor can we say it was the devil who made us do it. A love of Jesus will keep us from sinning and help us to overcome temptation. Watch and pray, Matthew 26, verse 41. Jesus says, watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And I know that feeling. The spirit is willing, and I'm wanting to not give in to temptation, but the flesh is weak. You are not powerless. You are not abandoned. You are not defeated. Jesus has gone before you. The spirit lives within you. The Father watches over you. Temptation may knock, but you don't have to open the door. Let's pray together. Each one of us in this room this morning knows what it is to be tempted. We know what it is to be tempted to give in to the selfish side of our nature, the corrupt side of our nature. But Jesus too knew what that experience was, and he didn't fail. So we pray that we may have the strength of Jesus, the knowledge of Jesus, the wisdom of Jesus, and the Holy Spirit of Jesus in us, that we may resist temptation and not fall into sin. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.